I'm looking forward to this opportunity. I'm going to set my stopwatch. If I'm going to preach on time, I'm going to set my stopwatch. I always do that. In fact, I got some of my grandkids doing that now. They're time preachers. I hope they don't all get nervous. I want y'all to know Sophie and Scarlett every time you guys get to stand, they're timing you. Really, what I should have done, I had a prop. I should have had an hourglass here. You know what an hourglass is? The sand's running through it. And so one time I preached a sermon at Great Chapel many years ago. I thought I'd be pretty smart. I had an hourglass set up there that I was preaching on the use of time and told people that your life is, this is like your life to run through the hourglass, which is true. Time just passing by. And also, as I was preaching, I talked about how that, you know, I forgot how old I was then, but if I could live to be 70 years old, which, you know, 3, 4, and 10, that how much of my percentage of my time had already gone through. So anyway, when I got through preaching, I love my daddy-in-law. He's a great man. He'd been gone since 1997. He's a great Christian man and deacon. But he wouldn't even shake hands with me in a song service, in the handshake. So we went to their house to eat that day. He wouldn't even speak to me. I said, Tony, what's wrong? He said, as far as you're concerned, I'm already dead. So I didn't mean to make him feel that way. But listen, time is very important. Let me start out with three scriptures, and then we'll talk about some very practical things. Let's look at Psalm 39, verse 4. I'm going to use three scriptures this morning, and then do some talking and base the scriptures around those. Times are very important. Sometimes you're young, you don't think about that, and you think you've got forever, but you don't. So let me read three verses here, three passages. One of these will be Psalm 39, verse 4. Psalm 39, verse 4. Two of these are prayers. One of them is an exhortation. The Old Testament, both of these are prayers. It would be a good prayer for all of us to pray. Psalm 39, verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. We're very, very frail. Our lives are very frail. And so God wants us to know that. Sometimes young people think they'll live forever. See, that's one reason why the young men are drafted to the service. They don't get cautious like older men do. They'll just go right into battles. They just think they're invulnerable. And so you're not invulnerable, but you think you are sometimes. But he wants us to know that we are very frail. Also, another prayer is in Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. This is 90:12. And here again, the psalmist prays a prayer. So teach us to number our days. Get that, not our years necessarily. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. That's a great verse. Let me read that to you again. Teach us to number our days. Why? We may apply our hearts into wisdom. You learn how to count your days, and you'll apply your hearts into wisdom. And then finally, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, had a passage I want to read to you. This will be found in verses 15 and 16. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Okay, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Get this, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming, buying back the time, making the best use of our time because the days are evil. Paul tells us to do that. Now let's say something about time. You know, first of all, life is passing by faster than you think it will. You've heard old people say this. Boy, they say like the time is passing by faster. And I'll tell you, from a 71-year-old man, it does seem like it passes by faster. When you're younger, it seems like the days go by kind of slowly, but time does pass by awful fast. And you don't know how much time you've got anyway. Some people may die young, so you don't know how much time you've got. But not only that, I want you to not think of time as just a long continuum. It's not here I am now, a certain age, I'm just going to keep on going. I'm 70, 80 years old. It doesn't work that way. We live life in cycles. We live life in cycles. We live life in what I call the seasons of life. You need to make best use of each season of your life. Now, let me say something before I even get on to that. You don't know what God's going to do in your life. You may have some difficult times. But see, God is a sovereign God, right? He is interested in your life. And God's preparing you for things. And so I like to call this for a minute God's school. You're going to God's school. And when you're in God's school, you need to make the best use of each stage you're going through in God's school. You don't know what the end is. You don't even know you're in school sometimes, but you know you are in school. And three individuals I can talk about. One of them is Moses. How long did Moses live? Anybody know? How long did he live? Anybody know? He lived to be 120 years old. And his life is divided into three 40-year periods. Okay, think about this. Now, God's got something for Moses to do, right? Great. God's got something for you to do, too. It won't be as dramatic as what Moses did, but I'll tell you, God's got something for you to do. If you don't believe that, you know, life is just meaningless, and the devil would like for it to be meaningless. But I'll tell you, God's got something for each one of you to do. And so Moses, God had to prepare Moses for what he did. So Moses spent 40 years in Pharaoh's palace. And he learned a lot there, too. He probably learned a lot of administrative skills. But Josephus says he had a great military leader. So he was in Pharaoh's palace for 40 years in luxury. 40-year period. Think about that. Well, he's 40 years old. What happened to him? Anybody remember what happened to him? What happened to him when he was 40 years old? Had a Right. What happened? All right, good. He killed an Egyptian, so he had to flee, right? Do you think about a change now? This is an amazing change. He had to go from being a famous man in a powerful environment, in luxury, to the backside of the desert. He might have been in despair. I don't know how he felt. Think about that. Man, he's the backside of the desert. Nobody knows where he is. But I tell you what, he's not wasting his time there. So you may also someday be able to put on the backside of the desert. You may be somewhere where you don't want to be. You may be in a situation you don't really want to be in, but God's sovereign. Remember, he's sovereign. So you make the best of where you are. So I'm sure Moses made the best of where he was. You know what God was teaching him? I think he's teaching him humility for one thing. Because the Bible says he's the meekest man that ever lived, except for Jesus Christ. So Moses did not waste his time on that debtor. He could have said, you could say this too. If you get a situation you don't want to be in, say, well, I'm just going to be lazy. I don't like what's going on. This is not a very glamorous situation. This is not a very exciting time in my life. I'm going to be lazy. Don't ever do that. Say, God, what are you teaching me? You've got something to do. You're preparing me for something. So God preparing Moses. Then we know what happened at 80 years old. He entered the last phase of his life. That is to lead God's people from the wilderness, out of Egypt into the promised land. Remember that? But see, he wouldn't have been worth anything if he'd only had that 40 years in Pharaoh's palace. He also had that 40 years in the backside of the desert. Then he ready to do his job. So God's got something you do. You don't know when he's going to do it. So just be preparing. Let God, that's God's school, okay? Let's look at another guy, Joseph. And Brother Mike talked wonderfully about Joseph in that 39th chapter of Genesis. How old was Joseph? You remember when he got taken down to Egypt? How old was he? Come on. Brother Mike told us. 17 years old. Did you know that? Well, good for you. Sorry, I stole your thunder. 17 years old. Now, looky here. Here's a young guy doing the best he can. He's a good guy. He's serving God. Like Brother Mike said, he had a disposition to be obedient. And for no reason at all, whammo, he's stuck down in Egypt, away from home. I mean, he could have been bitter. His brother sold him into slavery. He had injustice. He just said, oh, shoot. I don't know whether God exists or not. He doesn't love me. I'm just going to goof off down here. He didn't do that. He was a diligent man, wasn't he? He was so diligent. Every place he was put, he stood out. He even got to be the number one trustee in the jail. Now, remember that? And how old was he now when he got to be Pharaoh's number two man? Number two. How old was he then? Who knows? Come on. 30 years old. For 13 years, here he is now, away from home, in a pagan atmosphere, not knowing why he's there, being treated unjustly, but God getting him ready to do a fantastic job. Be the number two man in Israel. So my point is, whatever season you find yourself in, do the best you can, okay? Now, one more man. This is an amazing man to me. This man, even before he was born again, that was right in certain ways. The Apostle Paul. Paul was not born again until he got struck down on the road to Damascus. But he was a conscientious man. And kids, I want to encourage you to be conscientious. Don't be lazy. Be diligent. Paul was so diligent, he knew the whole Old Testament, almost by memory probably. So isn't it wonderful when God did call him to be born again, he already had that Bible memorized practically, knew all about the Bible, so then he could take and he could preach the gospel of Jesus Christ using that Old Testament background. But if Paul had been lazy and goofing off, he had not been the man he was. So he was going to God's school even while he was in his unregenerate state. God could hold our lives. So we have seasons of our lives. Now, I'm going to ask you to do some things. Don't miss the season you're in right now. You're in a season. See, I'm in a different season in my life. I go through different seasons. My wife is in a different season. She's a grandmother now. Pretty soon all of our kids will be gone from home. She did a great job while they were there. She's still a good job. We got to shift gears when they get out of the home. We're not going to serve God, quit serving God and be in a different way. So you kids now are in a season of your life. Make the best of the season you're in now. Don't goof off. Too many people say, oh, when I get a certain age, I'll start getting conscientious. This is my time to goof off now and just have a big old time. Don't do that. You can have a lot of fun, but I'm going to give you some suggestions on how to spend this season of your life right now. All right, here's some things you need to do. You need to prepare for the future. You kid right now, begin to prepare for the future. You're doing it in some things like your education. You're maybe getting prepared that way. But also, prepare for marriage. It may happen before you think it will. I married my wife when she was 17 years old. She's pretty well prepared. Are you girls ready to be a wife right now? What about you gentlemen? Are you ready to be a husband? Most of you are not yet. But you don't need to wait till you get married. You start preparing now to be the kind of man you ought to be. You learn what the Bible said about how a man ought to treat his wife. Now, study those scriptures. You sisters, learn now to be a virtuous woman. Get into Proverbs 31. Spend time the kind of wife I want to be, the kind of husband I want to be. You want to be a mother or daddy someday. How about I raise my children? Prepare now for that season that's going to come on. Don't let it sneak up on you. Be conscientious in your schoolwork, by the way, for several reasons. One of them is, many of you people will be educating your own children. Many of you mothers will be homeschooling your children. Are you doing good in your school right now? How can you teach your kids math if you don't know math? How can you teach your kids science if you don't know science? See what I'm saying? Do well in your schoolwork. God's got a reason for you doing all that. Let me tell you about my dear friend Jimmy Barber. Daniel's here. Jimmy's one of my best friends, too. He majored in agriculture in college, and he has a good degree, too. He learned how to do a lot of things, but he did not like English. He didn't like English. He goofed off in English. He didn't even try in English. So he will tell you this himself. I've heard him say it. He began to preach at a great handicap. He's doing well now, because over the years, he learned to use English well. He learned to write. He learned to speak. But for a while, Brother Jimmy butchered the King's English. And he has said, I would to God, if I had only known God was going to call me to preach, I'd have done well in English. So my friend, you do well in everything because you know what God wants you to do. So don't be lazy in school. Don't be lazy in school. Now listen, I want you to learn now to assume responsibility. There's a new word in the English language now that's been coined the last few years. Have you ever heard of what they call adolescence? Has anybody ever heard that word? Raise your hand if you have. Okay, a few hands will. Adolescence is a new concept now. You know what that's talking about? People who never grow up. People who never grow up. Many men now waiting for a long time before they get married because they're having too much fun. They got good jobs, good income, spend it all on themselves, have all these toys, don't want to settle down. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Be conscientious now to develop your life. Don't be wasting your time. Childhood is a time for fun, but it's not only a time for fun. Childhood is a time of preparation for your later life. You ought to think about that every day. So don't fall into this adolescence deal where you're just a big old kid. We got a lot of big kids in our country. They don't know how to do anything. They don't know how to assume responsibility. So don't be that way. You know what? You can't believe how much you could do if you just would. I know most of us are not geniuses. I'm not one for certain. But brother, John Quincy Adams was an ambassador when he was in his teens. He's an ambassador to a foreign country in his teens. John Quincy Adams was. There have been a lot of people who at a very early age have done incredible things. This business about you got to wait until you're 30 or 40 years old to be confident, that's a modern idea. You can be confident and should be confident now at an early age. Used to, people used to graduate from college when they're in their early 20s. Even people who went to Harvard and Yale in the early days, they were very young. They knew Greek, Hebrew, Latin, you name it. We are very lazy in our culture. But I want to encourage you, don't be the average individual. You know, I like to read those G.A. Henty books. Anybody ever read those G.A. Henty books? Well, you remember the heroes? Those books kind of have a pattern. I finally realized that after I read about a dozen of them that this time the same story, just a different person. So I wasn't quite as interested. I used to stay up all night and read them. But here's the pattern. The hero is a young guy who very early begins to develop skills. If he's a sword fighting guy, he just practices all the time, gets his gigantic arm. And my main man, by the time he's about 16 years old, he's ready to go out and fight everybody. You know, the G.A. Henty books. But there's a lesson there. Work now to be a competent individual in what God has called you to do. Now, don't be lazy and develop your skills. All right, a few things to really get down to practicalities. Use your money wisely. You kids, some of you have jobs. Some of you have allowances. Don't blow all your money on yourself. Learn to use money wisely now. You need to save some of it for the future. It would be college and other things. We have so many things in our culture today that tempt you to spend your money. You got all kind of gadgets. Y'all know about all the gadgets more than I do. I can't keep up all the names. iPod, iPad, smartphones. I don't know. That's about how far I can go. I'm kind of back in the wheelbarrow age. But there's so many things to spend your money on. Don't blow your money all the time. Do you know one of the main causes of trouble in marriages is people don't know how to use their money right? You learn how to use your money right now. Use it right. Be generous in a godly way. Learn to give to the house of God. That's a very important priority. A very important priority. Give God what's coming to Him. Right now, while you have your jobs and your allowances, you ought to learn how to tithe or something like that. Some amount you need to give regularly to the service of God. I mean that. That ought to come first. You ought to develop that habit right now. Be generous to other people when you can. Don't spend it all on yourself. Now, boys, you need to learn how to fix things. I'm serious. You're going to get married someday. What are you going to happen if you got to put a washer in your faucet? Some of you guys don't even know how to put a washer in a faucet. And see, you faucets are kind of tough. You guys got to learn how to fix stuff. Learn how to now fix it. Girls, what about cooking? Y'all cook? Can you cook? Learn how to cook. Some of you probably already know how to cook. But learn now how to cook. Get ready for the future. Use your time wisely. See what I'm saying? Use your time wisely. You girls need to learn how to be homemakers. Not only cook, but homemakers. All right, let's keep talking. I want to encourage you to be organized in every stage of your life. God wants us to be organized. God's organized, is He not? Isn't God a purposeful God? Is God sloppy? He's not sloppy. And I'm going to talk more on the use of your time later. This is the last part of my talk. But use your time well. Be organized in how you use your time. Most people waste time. Be organized in how you learn how to use your money. Just don't be sloppy in life. Let me give you you've heard as Brother Mike said. I'll have a similar expression to yours, Mike. I've got just how you put it. But the idle mind is the devil's workshop. That's the way I said it. I think you said something else close to that. That's the idle mind is the devil's workshop. Now, I'm going to tell you about a guy named Joel Reeves, okay? I love Joel Reeves. He was a young man in the church at Grace Chapel at one time. And I went off to Clinton, Kentucky for 3 years to start a church. He came back to Memphis, and I had been studying a whole lot about counseling, like with Jay Adams. So I wanted to kind of get involved in people's lives to help them out in their lives. And so Joel, when I got with him, he was not involved in any particular bad sin, but his life was a total disaster. He'd sleep all day long sometimes. And by the way, I'll say something about that later. Don't, listen kids, I know summertime's fun, you're not going to school. Don't lay around in bed all day long. Don't sleep till 11 every day. Get up and do something. That's not good to have habits like that. I'm not kidding with you. Every now and then do it. Don't stay up all night all the time and just goof off and watch stuff and get up and be lazy and waste your summer. That's crazy to waste your summer like that. But anyway, on Joel, I was starting to realize he was sloppy in everything. He didn't know how to use time right. He didn't know when he was going to get up, what he was going to eat. Didn't know where his money was. Well, here's what happened to him and happened to you also if you're sloppy. He finally wound up and his life was just ruined. He finally got to doing marijuana and then stronger dope than that. He got married and marriage broke up. His life's a disaster today. But I tell you what really caused the whole thing was Joel was not disciplined. The word disciple, the same root is discipline. Discipline. Exercise some self-discipline. Be hard on yourself. You have a fleshy nature. We're all lazy by nature. Mentally lazy and physically lazy. You don't let yourself go by like that. Use the summer right. You got some more time in the summer. Use every day right. Have fun, but it's not a big party. Life's not a big party. That's the devil's lie. Now listen, don't let disorganization drag you down. I know what I'm talking about. I know disorganized men in the world that try to be organized. I'm serious. I'm going to recommend a man that you might want to get on a website and read books by this guy named David Allen. Type in David Allen to a website, to a search engine sometime. See, sometimes, and God knows I'm trying. My wife knows I'm trying. I'm just disorganized by nature. My office looks like an A-bomb went off in there sometimes. But I clean it up all the time. Now, sometimes I get said, I can't find what I want to do. I can't find this book. I can't find this paper. I can't find, good gravy, I go nuts sometimes just trying to find stuff. That's crazy. Have a place for everything and everything in its place. Learn to be organized. Now, David Allen teaches you how to get organized. And here's what he says. He's right about this. I remember reading this one time in World Magazine, kind of a review of his book. And so I bought the book. And I've got to work on it when I get back from Siberia. I'm convinced I've got to do it. Even at my age, I'm always trying to reinvent myself, trying to get better organized. I've got to do it. When you quit being better, you quit being good. That's a slogan that my daddy's boss used to say. When you quit being better, you quit being good. So we got to always kind of, until we die, kind of start trying to be better. But anyway, here's what Alan said. Okay, look. Sometimes there are things I know I need to be doing right. I need to do this. I need to do that. I got this part of life, and somehow that's all on my mind, on the back of my mind. It's on the back of my mind. You can't keep everything on front. So really, what you're bogged down and your creative part is not working. Because you got all this mundane detail you're trying to take care of. Your creative part's not working. So Alan's got a system where you start putting things in categories and checking every now and then by color. And so then your mind is free from all that junk and the creative part can work. It's really brilliant. So I want to encourage you to get a hold of old David Allen. We need to learn how to get so organized that I don't have to worry about all the stuff that I need to worry about because I just want a calendar somewhere, some kind of a system. I'll look at that again on periodic times, but then my creative part is free to think. Sometimes we get so bogged down. You may not identify that, but when I read that review, I immediately identified it with it. It's kind of like a lot of things that back of my mind kind of weighing me down. Just kind of like a hindrance. It's almost like a weight that I need to get rid of. And so try to be organized as much as you possibly can. Don't be future. That's why your mom and dad tell you, clean your room up. Listen, you don't need a messy environment. You need a clean environment. You need an orderly environment. God's orderly. The devil's disorderly. You know, your mind needs to be organized. Your room needs to be organized. You're in a dirty environment. You can't think straight. Well, that's why I got to clean my office up every now and then. Man, I look, there's a pile of junk over here, a pile of junk over here. I say, good grief, I can't even think, man. I can't quote the 23rd Psalm today. I'm going nuts. So I say, Lord, I'm sorry I can't study right now. I got to study. I clean this place up. Then I clean it up. I can think then. I can think then. I'm serious about that. That's a serious business. All right, now let's talk about time itself. This is the essence of the talk. Let me tell you about three or four people. I had a friend who's a preacher now out in California named Joe Holder. Now you get this. Joe Holder was ordained. He's 16 years old. That's too early to ordain anybody. But he was able enough to be ordained preacher-wise. He just wasn't ordained material-wise. Nobody's old enough at 16 to get ordained. But he knew the Bible well when he was 16. You know why? Let me tell you what he did. He lived on a farm at Boonville, Mississippi. And my brother and I would go down and spend some time in the summer with Joe. We could be friends with Brother Joe. Well, we would be hoeing stuff, like hoeing corn. That's kind of foreign to you, I guess, now. We'd hoe corn. Sometimes I cut the corn out there, the weeds would drive his daddy nuts. I was a city boy. But anyway, when me and Lewis, my brother, we just had a big old time. Heck, we'd stop to get a drink of water. We'd just sit around and talk, shoot the bull. Nighttime, look at TV. Joe carried a Bible in his back pocket. We'd stop to sharpen our holes. He'd have that Bible out, looking at a few verses. At nighttime, we're looking at TV. Old Joe, he's looking at his Bible. Brother and sister, he could preach doctrine of justification, imputation, propitiation when he was a 16-year-old kid. He hadn't been wasting his time. All right, let me tell you about some of my big-time heroes. These are big-time heroes now. One is a guy named Robert Dick Wilson. Robert Dick Wilson. He inspired me many years ago. I have not followed through what he did, but he has had an influence on my life. Robert Dick Wilson was a great Old Testament scholar. Okay? He's written books that have never been answered, defending the authenticity of the inspiration of Scripture in the Old Testament. Here's what Robert Dick Wilson did. Now, he was a brilliant man, and he never married. I know he had an unusual, probably, gift of celibacy. So he thought, but the principle is still the same. When he was 25 years old, he graduated from seminary. Then he said, I've got to decide what I want to do with my life. Now, I know you may not be quite this precise, but you need to have something like this in mind. He thought, what am I going to do? So he thought, I want to defend the Old Testament against all these ungodly critics. So I'm going to spend 15 years of my life learning the languages of the Old Testament, not only the languages the Hebrew and Italian that inspired in, but the languages that were already used in the first few centuries that people commented on it. 15 years, I'm going to get my language skills. Then he said, the next 15 years, I'm going to do my language skills to do research in all this field. That last 15 years, I'm going to use to write what I have learned. And God bless him live 45 years. He lived that long. And my friend, it's wonderful what he did. They say he'd carry a book with him all the time. He'd carry a Hebrew book. He'd carry a Chaldee book. He'd carry a Ugarit, all kind of languages he learned. And so in bits and pieces of his time, he'd be looking at that grammar book. He learned many languages. Well, he was a genius, like I say. He could quote Daniel in the Hebrew by memory. How about that? But I tell you, he's a mighty man of God. He had a childlike heart. Let me tell you one thing that really moved me to think about this. Doesn't come off the subject a little bit, but he, not only was he a great scholar, he had a childlike man with faith in God. He said one time in a seminary class, he gave an incredible lecture on the authenticity of Daniel. And he gave all these great technical terms his genius was showing. But he said at the end of that time, he's a young man, I'm an old man now. I studied God's word for many years. After studying all these languages, he said, I can tell you one thing. Jesus loved me, This I know, for the Father will help himself. So show me a book after crying. This great man, this great mind, this childlike faith. But my friend, he could not have done what he did. He awakened his time. So I'm not telling you you've got to have 15-year period of your life. You need to think of something about what God's going to get you to do. And if you're working at it, be working at it. I know it wasn't easy to learn those languages. It's hard to learn a language for 15 years. But he could not have done the research had not laid the foundation and learned those languages. Okay? Now, another man I want to talk to you about for a minute is Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He's a great, I guess he's still alive. He's real old now if he's still alive. I'm sure he is. He's a Russian. I've read some books he wrote. He wrote many books. I read the Gulag Archipelago. Books that thick, three of them. I read all three of them. I could have just read a few pages tonight. So he talked about the tortures in the Soviet prison system and stuff like that. It just stuff just you could just couldn't hardly sleep at night. But what he did, though, he wrote many things to expose the Soviet Union. He helped bring the Soviet Union down. But let me tell you what he did. He didn't wait. How did he write all these books? You might say, well, he had a big library, he had some helpers. Well, he did at the end of his life. He finally got exiled. He went to Vermont. He had that kind of situation. But most of his life, he didn't have that. What he would do, I read his book called The Oak and the Calf, his autobiography. And they're watching him all the time. If he wrote anything, they'd snatch it away from him. So what do you do? He'd go in the corner of a room at night, away from a window. He'd get a piece of a pen. He'd write real small letters, part of the book. He'd wad it up, put it in a knothole on the tree, and get out of the country. And he wrote several books that way. The point I'm making is Solzhenitsyn had waited till the time of right. He had never written anything. He did what he could. He did what he could under argued circumstances and had a great body of literature. So remember that. Now, he used his time well. Now, if he had not used his time well, he couldn't have done that. And he's an old man now. He didn't have a mind to do it anymore. So I'm telling you, kids, while you've got the mind, you better use your mind right now. So the time will come, you'll not have the same mental powers you've got now. Don't waste your mental powers. It's just goofing off. Okay, number three. Now, Henry Morris. Many of y'all know Henry Morris. He's the man who was the head of the Institute of Creation Science, ICR. What was that? Anyway, he's the guy who wrote Genesis Flood. He's the main man who is the father of the modern creationist movement. A wonderful man, PhD, written many, many books. He's dead now. His sons are carrying. He got two sons carrying on his work and some other people. Well, see, when Henry Morris began to write on stuff like creationism, he's a brilliant PhD in hydrology, and he taught at Virginia Tech for many years, head of the department there of engineering. But then God convicted him that he needed to, at his time, defending the doctrine of creation from the Bible. It is Bible, strong Bible believer. So there's nothing written. So they had this college going. No, so you know what he did? He duplicated his work. He made it count two or three different times. We got to learn how to do that too. He'd write a lecture. He'd have to just stay ahead of his class one class at a time. Got nobody had written it before. He'd write a lecture. And those days before computers, his dear old mother would type those things for him. Then he'd read that lecture to the class. Well, you know, that lecture became a chapter in a book. Another lecture became a book. And over the years, he wrote book after book after book after book, a little bit at a time. He'd start, it'd be a chapter in a book, it'd be a pamphlet, it'd be a lecture. So he's dead now. But he left a tremendous legacy behind. I've got a lot of books he wrote. But he spent some time every day doing this. Now, he had vacation time. He had fun with his family. But it wasn't a life of goofing off. It was a life of diligence. And my friend, if you want to count for God, you've got to live a life of diligence. You've got to live a life of diligence. All right, let me talk about me a little bit. And God knows I'm the most disorganized guy in the world. I don't know why God let me be that way. But I'm always trying to get organized, so I can say that part that's good. And I try my best to learn how to use bits and pieces of my time right. So here, I want to encourage you. I'll just tell you some things I do about memorizing. Some of y'all know this. You get tired of hearing me, but I don't care. I'm going to keep as long as I got a sound mind, I'm going to keep doing it. You need to be memorizing the scriptures. I'm serious about that. Memorize books, if you will. If you want, at least memorize portions of scripture. I got to quote with Isaac 103 today. I know Psalm 103. I quote right along the way when he's reading that, and I enjoyed that. My memory is not, I'm not like David Powell. I wish I were sometimes. He got a photographic memory. Kind of jealous of him. I did have one time, I said, David, I got an advantage over you. I can read, what's that guy's name? The old detective, Sherlock Holmes. I said, I can read Sherlock Holmes every 5 years and enjoy it again. I said, you can't. You never forget a story. So I got an advantage over David. He He can't join. He don't want the story. I'll get the story. I'm going all the way. But anyway, I had to work like a. I had to work. Sometimes you think I'm playing with kids. I say a verse sometimes for 10 and one verse. But I decided many years ago, I'm going to memorize the Philippians letter, and I did. Well, I've read it hundreds of times. I said it. I enjoyed it so much. Then I let it go for about, maybe a year. And when they said, I'm going to say the Philippians letter, and I couldn't do it. Oh, man, I can't do it. All that work was the Philippians letter. I couldn't do it. But the good news is, when I began to re-memorize it, it came back just like that. So I realized that it's in there. It was on the back burner of my mind. So I decided, I've got to step in now. I memorized many books of the Bible. I didn't start until I was a lot older than y'all are. If you start now, you'd be amazed what you can do. I'll tell you what I can. I know I know Philippians. I know I know Ephesians. I know James by memory. I know 1 Timothy by memory. I know 2 Timothy by memory. I know Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 8. I know 1 Peter and 2 Peter. I know Isaiah 53. I know a bunch of Psalms. And what I do, I've got a system that every month I'm rememorizing some stuff. Like this month, I've rememorized Philippians. I've already done it. James already done it. 1 Timothy, I've already done it. Psalm 19, I've already done it. I'm working on Colossians 3 on the way down here now. Driving in the car, talking to my wife, and enjoying that, but wherever we were talking, I was in Philippians 3. I'm going to do two new chapters this year, because I can't memorize a lot of new stuff right now and keep all this other stuff going. I'm doing Colossians 1 and 2, but I'm kind of behind on that. And I don't always hit my goal, but the point is, if I didn't have a goal, I wouldn't be reaching anything. Now, I'm really kind of a nut. I want to not waste my time, but you know what I do? That right there is laminated. You know why it's laminated? Waterproof. You know, waterproof, because I've got the shower. You girls can memorize the whole Bible. Y'all take no time to shower. You know. I don't spend 15 minutes in there. Y'all let all the hot water out. And my kids actually bought me a laminate machine. And I'm like a blind dog to meat house that thing. I love that thing. So no kidding. You can lift it, make it convenient. If you don't laminate, see, here's Colossians right here. Colossians. Here's Nehemiah 9:6, and here's most stuff. I carry around with you. Make it convenient. Carry it with you. If you can't carry that, we can't get those little Gideon Bibles. And I'm not saying you're not all preachers. You don't want to memorize as much as I am, but you're Christians, aren't you? You love God's Word. Memorize something. Work at it systematically. You can't believe how much you can memorize at your age if you would get on it. You know, we're here getting our culture so late. Have you ever anybody read Laura Ingalls Wilder and the Little House on the Prairie? You remember how much they memorized? But they used to have history days. If we had history today, nobody could pass it. But they could get and just ask questions about the days in American history, memorize passages of poetry. It's incredible what people can memorize. Brothers and sisters, it's good for your mind to memorize. Memorize God's Word. Put it in there. But you got to set some goals. Be consistent and be persistent. Now, on Bible reading, rewritten some every day. Let me tell you about something recent about me on that. Because, see, I'm always reinventing myself. You got to, because we're sinners. I'll read a lot of politics. I used to teach history and all that kind of stuff. So I keep up with the Middle East. Be frank, I hope that Israelis go after those Iranian nukes, by the way. If you start a world war, I hope they go after them. That IDF is tough. But I read stuff like that all the time. I get the Middle East Forum. I get Act for America. I download that stuff, man. I'm running my printer, printing that stuff out. I take it home, read that stuff, and like that. And I enjoy it. I read World War II books. We won that one, so I like to read it. We whipped up on a jet, man. Battle of Midway, I read that 4 or 5 times a year. I'll tell you about that sometimes. It's not the place for it, but I can tell you every name of those jet carriers and how they got on all that, how the dive bombers did, what the torpedo plane did, and all that. But I got convicted one day, hey, you know what? Yes. You remember a lot of scripture. You're studying for sermon. You're not reading your Bible. But I will. And there's something about Bible reading. Nothing takes the place of Bible reading. So I didn't vow it. I didn't make a vow this time. I made a resolution. And I'm sticking with it for the most part. I'm not reading anything. I read the Bible for an hour a day. Now, that's a lot of time. Most of you won't have that kind of time reading. You ought to make some kind of resolution. 10 minutes, is that too much? 15 minutes? What about it? Is God's Word inspired or not? It's the only book written by God. So why can't I put that one first? If God wrote this thing, read that first. Then if I got time, read some of this other stuff. So you got this, use your time. You ought to be in God's Word some every day. Alright, let's talk about a few more things. Don't waste all your time, kids, on entertainment. It's not wrong to have entertainment, but it's wrong to entertain yourself to death. And America is entertaining themselves to death. And most kids, I'm kind of like Lewis, I'm just going to say y'all are doing it. Lewis is pretty blunt. A lot of y'all are doing it. You're entertaining yourself too much. Even some things are not bad in themselves. It's like it said in Hebrews, bless out every weight and the sin which doth beset you. It may just be a weight. If you spend so much time in entertainment, every night watching movies, but you're not in God's Word, there's something wrong somewhere. And there's so many things today, these electronic devices, that, and you know what? Guess what? I read this the other day. What's the average age of men who buy electronic games today? What's the average age? Who knows? I read it. 38 years old. 38-year-old men who ought to be having their mouth on something else playing computer games. Stupid. Stupid. Play one every now and then, maybe. Can you believe a 38-year-old man that ought to be reading, especially if he's a Christian, and that's the median age they claim of men buying these computer games? It's crazy. Don't be doing that all the time. Listen, learn to think deeply. Not only, see, you got, listen, I'm going to be frank with y'all. Too many of y'all are on Facebook too much. I'm serious about that. Now, I'm not on Facebook. The reason I'm not on Facebook is I'm easily distracted. I know I spend too much time at it. I'm glad I know some people who are on Facebook because they see things I need to know. So it's not wrong to be, but I'll tell you what, if you don't watch it, you'll spend too much time on it. And by the way, you don't need to know everything about everybody. I love this quote that a man gave. I said, amen. Even though it wasn't out of the Bible, I still said amen. He said, I have the right, and you get this, I have the right not to know everything about you. That's the truth. My friend, we know, you kids need to be, we need to develop a little privacy. There's too much letting down, too much on. Let me tell you, if you ever talk about your prayer time, you're always wrong. Never do that. Watch what you put on. But don't spend all your time on that. See, there's so many things that are good in themselves, but if we don't deafen ourselves, listen, most of us think that deep. We think that wide about that deep. We need some deep thinking. All of us need to be thinking deep. I'll tell you about Brother Strickland. He's a preacher out in Texas that was Sonny Powell in the days of the ministry. And Brother Sonny told me about Brother Strickland. He's a great preacher. We used to have a lot of great preachers like that. And Brother Strickland lived in Graham, Texas, and they had a farm out there where they had a parkage actually in those days. They had a parkage and they had a farm. So Brother Strickland, what he would do, in the morning, he'd get himself in the Bible. He'd start studying and reading the Bible. Then he'd plow behind a mule all day long. But while he's plowing, that mule pressing him himself, he's thinking and thinking, talking to himself. So he said sometimes his brother and wife said that he'd kind of come up to the house, you know, and he'd tie the mule down. He wouldn't hardly see her. He was so deep in thought. He'd walk in, he'd get the Bible, he'd read it, he'd go back in. He got the pulpit, he has his death. We need to learn how to think. Even you kids learn how to think deeply. So, but listen, here about time again, you've got to learn how to spend some time by yourself. I know we like to be with each other. It's good to be with each other right now. But I want to ask you kids to develop the ability to be by yourself in God. It's kind of hard, isn't it? It's kind of hard. It can be scary at first. You know, we're kind of horrified to be by ourselves. But we need to learn to develop that habit. I want to ask you to do that because, see, Christ is the example. I'll give you one verse on that. There are lots of verses I could give you. But one of my favorites is over in Mark 1:35. Riding up a great while before day, he departed, went to a solitary place, and there prayed. He's the example. So for their time, we need to give ourselves thinking. Well, set aside time every day really probably, but it's not every day, at least a few times a week. Be by myself, do some thinking about my life goal and things like that. Let me see what else I got. I'm almost through here. Okay, let's talk about exercise a little bit. And I'm serious about this. I know we can laugh about this if we wanted to, but listen, God has given us bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit. That a man like Robert Murray McShane, some of y'all probably read about him. He's a Scottish evangelist. And he died real young. He wore himself out. He didn't take care of himself. He wore himself out and died young. If you know what he wrote before he died? He said, God gave me a message to deliver and a horse to deliver. He hit by a horse, he meant his body. God gave me a message to deliver and a horse to ride to deliver it. He said, I'll kill the horse. I can't deliver the message. You need to take care of your health. And you kids, of course, I'm glad to see a lot of y'all exercising. But I'm going to tell you, and learn how to take care of your body now. And diet and exercise. And I can tell you from experience, when you get older, it's even more important. That's why, I do a lot of exercise. I need to do more. And I think old Seth Heflin finally beat me, dadgummit. I had him whooped there on chin-ups. By the way, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just stating the facts. I've done over 9,000 chin-ups this year. And down at Harmony Hill, I bent my ring. I had to go to the ring recycle. I've done on Raptor down there. Some guy thought I was nuts. He texted one of my kids and said, "What's wrong with Zach?" I said, "He all right?" He said, "He got 2 o'clock in the morning to go to the bathroom in there." He said, "I saw him just sitting there in a minute." He said, "I thought he hit the hanging shelf." And then he jumped up there and grabbed my shelf off the Raptor. But I did 4 or 10 that week. But really, it's stay in shape. Stay in shape. That's something God says. The Bible is the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit and be in good health as much as we possibly can. I'm glad Isaac finally started doing this exercise. I kind of got worried about him for a while. I really am. No kidding. I got too fat, and he was excited, and so I'm really glad he got on that. Now, here again, see, okay, time. You say, how did it come to a time lecture? Oh, here's how it comes to a time lecture. Hey, listen, okay, let me tell you two things about time. Okay, I don't have time to exercise a lot. I'm a busy pastor, a real busy pastor. But I got a chin bar hanging up over Red Chapel. Every time I get up to take a little break, I'm going to do a few chin-ups. See?
Yeah.
And one thing, too, about walking. A guy named Herman Hooksler said this. I like Herman Hooksler, was a great prophet reform breaker. He's dead now. But what he would do, say he would kill two birds with one. You can kill two birds with one stone. He did a lot of walking. But what he would do, he'd get more money and study real hard for money until he get his sermon up. Then he said that he called it studying on the hoof. He meant walking. He'll walk and he'll think. And so see that you can do that. So you can incorporate exercise even into, and I can, frankly, I pray better and think better when I'm walking. I get the blood flowing better. So we can find ways. That fits in this time lecture because you say, well, I ain't got time to exercise. A lot of people say that. But you can find time if you can kind of incorporate other things with that. Let me see a couple more things I'll be through. All right. I want to encourage you on something, okay? You can do more than you think you can if you set goals and be persistent and consistent. Now, I'm going to close with this. A guy named Gary North. You ever heard of Gary North? He's a pretty good writer of economics. He's a Christian Reconstructionist, which I don't agree with his eschatology, but he's still got a lot of good stuff. Here's what North said. He inspired me many years ago. He said anybody can become an expert in anything if they'll spend 5,000 hours doing it. Now, get that. You think about something you might want to do, become an expert in. Anybody can become an expert at anything that's been 5,000 hours doing it. He calculated that. We couldn't do this unless you're going to college or something. If you spent 40-hour weeks, that'd be 2.5 years, okay? You become an expert at anything. If you're having average intelligence and stayed at it, 5,000 hours, you become an expert. But if you only spend 1 hour a day, 13.7 years. That's not going to time with your age. And if you take 30 minutes a day, but something you really want to do, something you really want to get proficient in, see, the deal is consistency and persistency. Most of us don't have that. You need to set goals, even at your ages now. A good time to do it. Get your life ahead of you. And kid, don't forget what I said at the first. Live your life in cycles. You're going through a cycle of life right now. It's a preparatory time. This is not a time to be goofing off. It's preparatory. You're preparing for the future. You want to be grown-ups. You want to be husbands. You want to be wives. You want to be a leading member of your churches. You want to be citizens of our country. It's such a time. Enjoy your youth. You ought to enjoy your youth, but don't enjoy it the wrong way. Remember now thy creator, the day of thy youth. Because the day will come you won't be able to do it anymore. You'll be an old person, like over in Ecclesiastes 12, described the person who just falling apart because of age disabilities. It's a fun time to be a kid, but listen, it's more fun when you know you're heading somewhere. So I beg you, all of you, pray. God, show me how to head. Show me how to use my time. And again, don't play around all summer. It's 11:30. That's not time. That's not right. That's not right. God wants you to be goofing off like that. Stay up every night till 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock, watching movies, stuff like that, eating a bunch of junk food, and then get up in the morning at 11 o'clock and just go back to school. Why should some of that way? Don't wait to get back to school to get different. Different yourself. May God bless you. I love you. And I know if you'll do some of these things, I wish to God somebody told me this stuff when I was your age. I might have done a better job. But just get on it. Get on it. May the Lord bless you.